Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor at Forward Church in Chiefland, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thanks so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
But everybody say stressed out. We're going to be looking at that today. Actually, we're going to be looking at the topic managing stress. As a matter of fact, I titled today's message this, How to Manage Stress God's Way. Because I don't think that you can really manage stress without doing it God's way. Without doing it God's way, I think stress manages you. So we're going to be looking at today how to manage stress God's way. Stress, by definition, is pressure or tension that is applied to an object or a material. Now, today, I don't want to necessarily look at tension being, I could have brought a rubber band up here, and when I stretch it, it was designed to do that, but it's putting pressure on it or tension. I don't want to talk directly about tension being put on an object. I want to talk about tension and pressure being put on you. I want to talk about tension and pressure put on me. Today, every single one of us in this room has experienced or dealt with worry, fear, or anxiety. And I don't know if you just hate it when someone comes to you and says, well, just stop worrying. You ever heard? You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh my gosh, let me tell you about my day. And they're like, I mean, you're like on jack nine, right? And they're like, dude, just stop worrying. Bro, I wish it was that easy. Yeah, I could just hit a button and go, shoo. Anybody else? Anybody found that button yet? I have, the button is Jesus, but I have to go to that button. I have to connect with that button. And if I fail to connect with it, guess what I am? Stressed out. I gotta get along with it. Matter of fact, I received a text message this week that it was so funny. I had no idea where I knew where we were going today, but this person did not. And he sent me a text early in the morning and said, have you ever had one of those days where you just feel like you walk into chaos? And he sent me a list of worship songs. He don't know what was on my mind that day. He has no idea how bad I was like, I know, but keep your worship songs. Anybody else been there? Huh? I mean, You know that you're supposed to get in his presence, but somehow you just can't seem to find yourself there because you're too hot and angry. Am I the only one in the building today? I didn't think so. Y'all can look holy and put together, but I know better. I know I've seen some of y'all going down the aisle most recently in the past 3 months at Walmart. And somebody looks at you crazy because you're going down the aisle with the arrow going the other direction. Y'all, anybody else? I'm like, I know, but I'm going to get my stuff. Talk about stressed out. You would think when stuff slows down in a pandemic that the stress would be released, but I'm here to tell you, it just revs up. Huh? It just revs up. But I know that my God is still in control. See, today's worship was a setup for where we're going today. That regardless of what you're going through, God is still in control. It's like having one of those, you ever been on those go-karts where you ride doubles and one's a driver and one's got the dummy? I didn't call you a dummy. I'm saying there's a dummy steering wheel and you just turn it, but it don't do anything. You remember that when your mom and dad was like, here, I'm going to let you drive and you're doing all this and it's not really going in the direction. You're like, what's dad? He fooled me. I'm not really driving. That's how it looks. You know how crazy that looks? That's how it looks when things get out of control and we're trying to manage things without God's help. God's my co-pilot. No, he's not. Bless God, he's running this thing. There are times that I, you know, just try to step into the cockpit and sit in the captain's chair. You ever seen a plane going down? You ever seen it come back up real fast because they got it back under control? That's how my life looks a lot of times. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Monday of this week through Friday, I was coming in hard, hot, and heavy until I got to a place where I gave him back control, and it took back off, and we planed out. And I believe somebody here today needs to give him back control. Because whether you want to admit it or not, when we do that, we look a lot like that little kid trying to take control, and we have no control. Amen? Sometimes I wish it was just that easy. What's interesting to discover in the Bible is that the most repeated commandment in all of God's word is what? Fear not. It's the most repeated commandment. As a matter of fact, I believe that it appears 366 times in the Bible. That's one more day than what we live in a year. That's how important this commandment, and I don't get this right. I don't get this right. I get it, but I haven't mastered it, and we're going to look at this today. Let me give you some statistics. Right now, anxiety medication, and Miss Sally could probably confirm this, anxiety, not because she's in medication. Somebody like, you calling somebody out in the church because they on anxiety. No. Come back with me. See, some of y'all be trying to stir up some trouble. T-R-O-U-B-L-E. No, Pastor B was making a reference because she is in the medication field. Amen. See, I have to clear that up sometimes, because I know the enemy, you'll be out for the rest of the service and miss everything else I say, because you're like, well, I'm not going back to that church because he's calling out everybody's little stuff. No, because we all got stuff. I'll never be a pastor or a leader that calls out people's stuff, but I will read scripture and let the Holy Spirit do the conviction. Okay, let's keep on going. So this year alone, Americans will spend over $55 billion on medication to treat worry, fear, and anxiety. The CDC recently reported that 90% of all doctor visits are due to illnesses directly linked to stress. You got all kinds of other ailments going on, but the root of that was stress. In preparing for today's talk, I made a list of things that I believe contribute to our worry and anxiety. You want to write these down? There's just three, okay? It all gets summed up right here. Your past, what we did in the past, the present, what's going on right now, and the future. Other than that, we're great. That's where our stress comes from. Our past, our present, and where we're headed. Other than that, it's all good. It's all gravy. The Bible has a lot to say about this topic, so let's just dive in. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 today. Philippians chapter 4. Something that you need to know, this passage was written by a guy by the name of Paul. Paul wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else. And what's really interesting is Paul wrote this when he was in Rome, when he was in prison. Everybody say prison. Clankety clank, lockdown. And he was awaiting a death sentence. This is when he wrote what we're getting ready to read. So I want you to keep that in mind. What's crazy is the book of Philippians contains more references and comments about joy and happiness than any other book in the New Testament. This is a guy that's talking about how to get your joy when he's in Rome, in prison, awaiting to find out the fate of how he's going to die. And he wants to talk about, I'm happy. How many of y'all ever go through stressful months? I guarantee you, I'm not. Anybody want me to just be honest? She'll tell you, when I get stressed, I'm not nice to be around. And neither are you. So that's what we're going to learn today. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to learn together what Paul has to say about how to deal with and manage stress God's way. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, says this. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Everybody say always. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. This is where, Father, I have sinned. You do realize that anything the Bible says not to do that we do is a sin. You do understand that. So when the Bible says fear not and you fear, that's considered a sin. It's something that I have to repent for. Not only do I have to ask my family to forgive me for the monster that comes out when I get stressed, but I have to ask God to forgive me for this. Oh my gosh. Remember what I said? You go to the doctor for one thing and it's directly linked to stress. When I get stressed, there are arguments that would have never happened had I not been stressed. Because when I get stressed, my mind is gone. You know, the mind that's actually reasonable, that actually has, you know, thinks stuff, it's gone. So all of those arguments, I know y'all thought Pastor B and Amy, it was just a beautiful marriage, right? It is, it is, it is. The beautiful part is when I mess up, I repent. We get on our knees and pray and ask God to help us. Then when we get up, we do what she wants to do. It keeps everybody happy. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It's interesting to point this out. Let's keep on going. Let me keep on going. Then I'll make that point. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. It doesn't say anything about Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. Send an email to everybody in your contact list. Nope. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. All he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thought or one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice. Everybody say, keep putting into practice. You know what that means? Keep trying. When you mess up, try again. When you fail, get back up. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. What's interesting to point out is Paul doesn't address anything that has to do with what's happening to us. If you want to get peace, he doesn't say, well, I'm going to need you to get out of that high-maintenance relationship and get into a more of a low-maintenance relationship so you can find peace. He doesn't say anything about what's happening around you. He doesn't say anything about if you want peace, get out of that job that's stressing you out. He doesn't say anything about that. What's he say? What's he say? Although some of those things may be important and necessary to happen in your life, it's interesting that Paul doesn't mention anything about escaping and running. Because what do? When stress happens? What's that meme?
Run.
Y'all seen that meme where everybody's going crazy? Yeah, that's what we do when we get stressed. But Paul doesn't say anything about that. What Paul does tell us is this, that the main source of your worry, anxiety, and anxiety doesn't have anything to do with what's going on out here, but it has everything to do with what's going on in here. That's the root, that's the cause, that's the location of the seed of how you respond to stress. Because let's face it, we can't do anything about stress. Stress just happens. That's what happens in life. But we have a lot to do with whether or not we get... I know, she said, take that out of your mouth. I'm spitting over everybody. That's why I'll never get anybody to sit on the front row. But I have to do it because my throat gets dry. He doesn't say anything about what's going on out here. It's what's going on in here. Basically, what he was saying is the anxiety that I feel isn't about my enemy, it's about my inner me. It's what's going on the inside. Listen, in order for us to deal with and manage our stress, we must confront, don't like to do that. We must address, Lord knows we don't like to do that. Passive-aggressive, any passive-aggressive people in here? You get on Facebook, talk about all your enemies? Okay, and what's happening is there's something going on the inside. That's what we must address and confront. So the way we're going to do this today, I've got quite a few points today. I'm so glad you joined us at church. Anybody ever went to one of those 10-minute oil shops where you get your oil changed and they give you that 2-page piece of paper with a 27, some of y'all are like, oil change, what's that? Don't worry about it, that's what your husband does. Anyway, trying to get them to have a good time in church, Jesus. We're just trying. It's a 27-point check to make sure that everything on your vehicle is working like it's supposed to. So today I've got 27 points for you. So The next time you get or feel the need to get stressed out, I want you to go to this 4-point check. I wish I would have already had these notes on Monday when Pastor B lost his mind. Somebody say, tell us about it. If there's time, I will. Help us, Jesus. You're going to want to write these down so that way anytime you start struggling with worry, fear, and anxiety, you can go back to these 4 checks. Are you ready for the first one? The moment you feel like you're getting stressed out, check your foundation. Check your foundation. Verse 4 said this. It said, always be full of joy in the Lord. And it, or another version or translation says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What's he saying? Simply this. If the Lord is always the source of your joy, you can always rejoice because the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If your joy is, if everything in your life is founded on Jesus, but if our foundation is what they think about me on Facebook, y'all know when we wake up, what's the first thing we look for on Facebook? That little red box that tells me how many people liked, how many people commented. Y'all, anybody? I know y'all aren't going to be real. That's okay. I know you do just like I do. And our world gets just turned upside down if somebody says something real ugly about something we thought was so profound. Well, I just shared something that Jesus, you know, I just thought it was, and somebody didn't like it. And then your whole world, you know why? Because your foundation was on someone else's approval of who you are. That's what happens. We go ahead and start praying. See, in order for this thing to work, the purpose of this thing is to introduce to you something that is unstable in your foundation. That causes my legs. I really wanted the round ball. You know what I'm saying? That looks like a flying saucer. That one, because this one's. I can manage. You can manage a little better. But the way this works is so that my legs will never relax. And this is what some of our lives look like sometimes, because our foundation is on what people think. Our foundation is on the stock market. Our foundation is on who's in the office at the White House. If my foundation is on who's governing this country, guess what's going to happen every 4 years? But when I step off of what is making me stumble and I can't relax, because guess what happens when you don't relax? You get stressed. But when you step off and begin putting your life and your marriage and your finances on a foundation and begin doing things the way that God called you to do it, it does not matter what's coming at you. You won't be doing this. And there's a lot of Christians in the world. Everybody going surfing. Y'all know. I'm telling you what, when life hits me like it did this week, ain't nothing about me wanting to sing no Beach Boys talking about everybody going surfing. Come on, somebody just shout out, I need your peace. Your joy and your peace will only be as stable as what it's built on. What's your peace? What is your peace built on? If God is the source of my peace, then my peace will be stable because it's built on a foundation that is stable. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not matter. I'm already wanting to jump to the end of the message. It does not matter what goes on. Last week, I stood up on this platform and almost dared the enemy put me in a corner. Y'all remember last week? When I said, I'm ready. Put me in a corner. I know what to do. It's one thing when you're in church and surrounded by a bunch of people who look and they smile at you. And when you say something that sounds like it's truth, because it was. He wants you to recognize that when you get backed in a corner, who you need is him. But all I'm going to tell you is when Monday morning rolled around, I was trying to find a way out of the corner. But it wasn't calling on Jesus. Huh? I got stressed. You know why? Because my foundation was on everything else. My foundation was on everything but God in my mind. I'm not saying my life isn't surrendered to him and built on him, but there's a lot of times I jump into captain's chair and I think I can fly this thing better. And when I hit a little turbulence, I think I know how to plane it out. And I think God's up there going, oh yeah, watch this. And my plane's going. The devil don't cause everything to go wrong in your life. Sometimes I think that God allows things, and sometimes he just might sneeze up there. Why? Because I said, I know that if I get backed in a corner, I'm going to stand on the promises of God's word, and I'm going to go where he told me I'm supposed to go, and I'm going to live the way I'm supposed to live, and it don't matter what comes. I literally said last Monday, why did I say that? I know what to do. Back me into a corner. Be careful of the things that you say Because God will put you to the test. Your pastor failed this week. I'll get to that in just a minute. Isaiah 26. Let's go there this morning. Isaiah 26, 3 says this, 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. Say that. Say perfect. Perfect peace. All who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. If you try to build your peace and identity on anything other than God, you will always have an instability in your soul. Every day. Every day. So the first one was check your foundation. Number two is this. Before I give it to you, let me say this. I got to say this. In verse 9, Paul said, keep putting into practice all the things you've learned and the peace of God will be with you. What he's saying is this. The peace in your life is directly linked to the practice in your life. The peace that we want to be connected to, that we want when trouble comes, is directly linked to what I'm practicing every day. Because how many knows that we love to run to church when we need Jesus to come through, but when everything's planed out, I can be doing all kinds of other stuff. And I was just getting ready to list some, but I'm afraid I might offend somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When everything's planed out, there's all these other things. Well, I'm okay. God, I need this job. God, I believe this job. Now that I got that job, I've been believing for this business. Now that I got this business, I got to go run this business. The moment that we unprioritize God at the first or the head is the moment that things get out of balance. That is the moment where I'm no longer stable because I think my foundation is in the job and I got to pay the bills, and that may be true, but I'm here to tell you the moment that you stop putting God first in your home, in your finances, and in that business is the moment that you're going to experience a little turbulence, and peace will not be found because you didn't practice it. When I practice and I come in here and I worship when I don't feel like it, and I get up on this platform and I pour my guts out with sweat rolling down my back, hoping that it's going to impact somebody's life, the moment that I do things that I did not feel like doing, and I had every excuse, I had every justification why I didn't want to, and I still did it anyway, that's called practice. The moment that you make a decision, yes, I'm going to go to the river. Yes, I'm going to go fishing. Yes, I'm going to paint my brand new house. The moment you say, I'm going to put God first, then I'm going to do that. I'm just telling you, there's stories in the Bible that God allowed the sun to stand still. You want the favor of God on your life? You want things to work on your behalf? Make sure you put God first. Because the peace that you're wanting is connected to what you're practicing every single day. I'm almost nervous about what's coming tomorrow off of what I'm feeling right now. I try every week not to preach hard, but I just think the devil's not playing, so by God, why should I play in delivering the word? I'm not up here spitting game and spitting jokes this thing is life or death. There's people that are in here today that may not ever decide to come back to church, but they heard a little skinny ball-headed man say, when you're in the midst of a storm, don't give up. We hadn't forgot about y'all on TV, on the internet. Man, when things aren't working out the way you thought they were, and the way that you're believing God for them to work out, what is that? What am I saying? Don't give up. Don't quit. Number two, check your line. L-I-N-E. Check your line. When you feel like stress is coming on, check your line. That's not going to make any sense, but it will before we move to number three. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. I know y'all see two lines on the screen that are not in your Bible. I'm going to come back to those in just a minute. And it says, and he shall direct your paths. I drew two lines so that I could remember what's my job and what's his job. Y'all remember that show, whose line is it anyway? What's my part? What's my role? And what's God's role? See, what we've got to understand is there's some things that's my responsibility, that's your responsibility, and then there's some things that's not your job. People used to say it all the time, stay in your lane. Ever had anybody say that? You know why they told you that? Because you were talking about something that you had no business talking about. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. So watch this. My job is to trust the Lord with all my heart. That's my job. My job is to not lean on Bradley's understanding, what I can make sense of. My job is to acknowledge him in everything I do. You know what's not my job? To direct my path. That's not my job. Put it back up. Put that verse back up with the lines. What's my job? My job is to trust in the Lord with all my heart. My job is to not lean on my own understanding. My job is to acknowledge him in everything I do. And then it says, and he, that's where the break is. So when you, have you ever noticed that there's actually more responsibility on our side than what he has to do? But if we're willing to do that, God would direct my steps. For those that come from a more business standpoint, what that verse means is you and I control the inputs, but we do not control the outcomes. I control what I'm putting into it, but it is not my responsibility to control the outcome. And for people with type A personalities like me, that messes us up. That stresses us out. Why? Because we feel like what we're doing, we should have a say in the outcome. Anybody else other than Paul in here getting a little something today? Huh? I think, well, if I put forth the effort, I should get the paycheck. Doc. Huh? If you spend your whole life trying to control outcomes in your life, the outcomes in relationships, the outcomes in your career, the outcomes of how your children live and who they end up marrying and huh? And things that you cannot control, if that is how you're living your life, you're going to be full of anxiety in your life. What is God calling you and I to focus on? Trusting him with all of our hearts, leaning not into our own understanding, acknowledging God in everything. In everything. There's nothing wrong with going to the river. There's nothing wrong with going hunting. There's nothing wrong with buying a house. There's nothing wrong with building a house. There's nothing wrong with trying to save a little money and paying it yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's a whole lot wrong when God is not first. Are you meddling? No, I'm not meddling. I'm trying to prevent you from going through hell. I can't prevent you from going through it, but I can help you get through it. Because if you'll practice putting him first, he will show up first when you need him to show up first. And wonder why things are crazy and we can't figure it out. It's because, bless God, we put something else first. It's good preaching. Thank you, I'm enjoying it. I'm preaching myself happy today. And nervous as all get out about Monday morning. I get told by my family all the time, you're so uptight. What's my response? No, I'm not. Anybody else get uptight in here? You don't walk up to somebody who's wound up real, real tight. I'm seeing a lot of elbows and fingers flying in here. And you don't walk up to somebody who's uptight and tell them to settle down, do you? You ever seen a rubber band pop when it's been stretched more than what it was created to? Need verification? Just ask Amy Weber. She likes to pull this rubber band right here, and it pops more than it was created to sometimes. You don't look at somebody who's about to blow a gasket and say, just calm down. Why won't you relax? Why won't we relax knowing that God is in control? Think about what you're facing. Think about what you faced this past week and you lost your mind over that. Why are we losing our mind over something when God is in control? So number two, check your line. Number three, check your focus. Check your focus. I love this one. Do you see what verse 8 said? Paul was saying, if you want to increase the amount of peace in your life, think about these things. Think about these things. Then he goes on to list them. Verse 8, let me just read it. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right. Chances are pretty good you're not going to get this on Facebook. Things that are true, honest, right, good report, virtue. And if the first thing you do is get up and watch the news, God bless your soul. They're not paid to give you things that are true, things that are pure, things that are right, things that are admirable. You know what? Why? You know what keeps them in business? When we turn into all the juicy stuff. So don't go to the news and then wonder that. Let that the first thing again. The first thing. Let the first thing you do is get in the Word. Let the first thing you hear a little worship music, huh? Maybe the first thing you need to hear tomorrow is the replay of this message. So when all hell comes against you, you know, I need to check my foundation. I need to check my line. And I need to check my focus. Okay, this is what I want you to do. I love this little teaching illustration. I need everybody to put up one index finger. Put it out in front of your face. Okay? Now I need you to close one eye. One eye.
This eye.
Eye. Jen, I heard Jenna's voice say, I. Abu. Okay, now, I want you to take that index finger and I want you to put it close to the one eye that is open. Now, I want you to use that finger to block me out. Did you do it? Anybody not do it? Keep trying. Because you block me out? Okay, you can stop. What's bigger, me or your index finger? What? Your finger's bigger... You did it. You started it. Come here. No, for real. Everybody say teaching lesson. Okay. Let me see that same index finger.
Oh, that finger.
Yeah. That's bigger than me? Huh? No. Y'all know better. Y'all know better. Y'all get her, Paul. I am 165 pounds. That finger weighs less than a pound. I am bigger than that finger. I was trying to prove a point. You're like, no, my finger's bigger. Why is it that we allow, or how is it that we allow something smaller to block out something bigger? God is bigger than any of your circumstances, but when you put your focus on that small thing, where'd you go, Lavelle? Shelby, too. I got two people that I'm blocking out. We do the same thing. We allow... what we're going through, your shoulders are too broad. I was trying. I was like, nope, I don't see his head, but he's still out there. Why is it that we block out God, who is bigger, so much so that we can no longer see them, with something so much smaller? Check your focus. What are you focused on? You know why we lose focus of where God is in our relationship or where God is in our life? It's because we're focused on this. What am I trying to say? A small thing held close to the eye can block out a large thing. I don't get to control what I'm going through, but I do get to control what I focus on. I do not get to control what's happening to me, but I am in complete control of how I focus on that thing. And I choose not to focus on that, but focus on God. He's the only one that can help me through this thing. Listen, Peter walked on water because he was able to do it, not because he focused on what he was walking through, but who he was walking to. Did you follow me? Peter walking on the water in the midst of a storm, the reason he was able to do it is because he wasn't worried about what he was walking through, but to. The moment that he did begin looking at what he was walking through, that was the moment he began to sink. But when he got his eyes back on Jesus, that's the moment that he got elevated above his circumstances. Amen? Number four, check your reasonableness. Now, that's not in our translation. In our translation, it said, let everyone see you that you're considerate. But the English Standard Version says, it says to be reasonable. So check your reasonableness. Remember what I said? When I get stressed out, reason's out the window. What does that mean? No matter what your circumstances look like, make every effort to not lose your mind. Be reasonable and considerate towards others. Why? And it even said, because God is coming soon. Because Jesus is coming soon. What's that mean? If Jesus is coming soon and my life is supposed to impact someone else's life to make sure that they see Jesus when I'm going through all hell and I'm going through everything and my foundation is a little shaky, what happens? I'm not leading people to Jesus. I'm leading them to see that where my focus is, and my focus is clearly on everything that I'm going through rather than being established on a foundation that is not shakable. He's unshakable and unmovable. This was Paul. No matter what was happening to him on the outside, it was almost impossible to get him off balance. And I want to live that same life. That no matter what comes my way, it's almost impossible to get me to lose my balance. And it depends on what you're focused on. If we were to have met Paul, and here he is in Rome, in prison, awaiting his death sentence, and he's talking about all the ways God has been good to him. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to show up and go, "Hey, Paul, you've lost touch with reality." Huh? I know that's what some of y'all think when Pastor B's up here, you know, preaching the word. And you're like, "But Pastor B don't know what I'm going through. He don't know who I'm married to. He don't know about my crazy kids." He's lost touch with reality. No, honey, no, I haven't. No, I haven't. I think Paul's response would be, "No, you've lost touch with reality. How can you forget about the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and now is sitting at the right hand of the Father? You're putting more stock in your problems than on the resurrection?" That's what Paul would say. I think you've lost touch with reality. If you and I are going to reduce the anxiety in our lives, we've got to have a biblical reasonableness. How quick we forget about how powerful and how awesome God is, in closing. So, last week, I stood on this platform and said, "Back me in a corner." Monday morning rolls around. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Amy leaves for work early, early, early because she works in Williston. I jump in the shower to begin my day, and my phone rings. I never put my phone on the little shelf. Phone rings. She's got a certain ringtone. Hey, that lets me know that it's hers. So I knew it was hers. So I'm trying to get to the phone. "Hey, my tire pressure light's on. I think I'm going to be okay. I'm going to go ahead and go on in. I'm almost a Bronson, but I'm going to go ahead and go on in. Everything feels good. I'll check it when I get there." "Okay, babe, love you. Be safe." All that shampoo. Y'all like, "You use shampoo?" Yep, sure do. For the stubbles. My phone rings again. I got shampoo just rolling down my face. And it's her again. I was like, "Something's wrong." She wouldn't just call back right away. She said, "Cancel that. I'm on the side of the road. I got a flat tire." "Where you at?" "I'm almost to the cutoff at the sheriff's department." I was like, now I wasn't as calm as I'm being right now because I was stressed because I knew I had to fix something. Yeah. That is probably one of the worst feelings in the world, to know that your wife — it's another thing for a dude, and this is not a chauvinistic statement, but it's one thing to know that your wife, in the day and time we live in today, is on the side of the road and she can't go anywhere. Okay? So I immediately called Adam because I know he's on third shift and he gets off at 6 a.m. And I said, "Adam," — well, no, matter of fact, I called, he didn't answer, so I called back, he didn't answer again. So he calls me right back, he says, "Bro, you better be dying." I was like, "No." I said, "But Amy's on the side of the road." He goes, "You want me?" I said, "Are you still on patrol?" He said, "No, I just got off. I'm at home." He said, "Do you want me to send deputies?" I said, "Yes, please, until I can get there. I'm on my way." However, Ansley's asleep in her room, and my car is broke. It do not run. It's in the garage. It's broke. That's a whole nother story. Coming up soon. So I run into Ansley's room, and she's asleep. Grace, I need you to take care of the dogs because I just fed them. And you know, how many know if you got inside dogs, once they've eaten, it's time to go, right? And so I need you to take care of the dogs. Mom's on the side of the road. I got to use your car. So here I go, boom, flying down the road. I come around the big curve in Bronson, and I see not one, two, three deputy patrol officers helping my wife. It looked like they were searching her car. If y'all have drove by, they had the thing lifted, the tailgate lifted up, all her stuff straight. Because y'all know how y'all do, ladies. Y'all pack everything in. I mean, she lives out of that car. But she has to drive to, she has to drive to work. So anyway, she has all her stuff. It's strolled out all over the place. They get her hooked back up. I went to Gulf Coast Tire, where Terrence Reed used to be. And they were open. It was all not even 7 o'clock in the morning. And she followed me. I drove her car with a little donut. And the officer said, it really don't have enough air in it. I'm like, I'm going to get this car to the thing. So we showed up and dropped her car off. And he said, because she rode it a little bit flat, so that tire needed to be replaced. And so, you know, you don't just replace one, you replace two. Well, they all four really needed to be replaced, so we got four tires. But tires can't come in until Wednesday. So my car still broke. So all we have is her car. So thank God for Connor, who picks her up, takes her to work that day. My car, I go see Cole. It was one of those situations where you're trying to leave a stoplight and push the accelerator, and as soon as you do, boom. Engine's still running, but it's boom, it ain't going nowhere. Take it to Cole. And they hook the machine up. It says it's a knock sensor. What's that mean? Your engine's knocking. No joke. They put a new knock sensor on it. It didn't fix it. So I'm sitting here. I'm starting to feel from what I said. Put me in a corner. Hit me with your best shot. And I continue to get nervous because what I'm hearing him and his technician saying are, we replaced the knock sensor, but it still won't run right. And I heard it. It was actually getting worse. I mean, it was like, and this is what I'm hearing them whisper. I think it's the engine. I think it's the engine. Dude, I went in back in the lobby area and sat on the couch. I've never had a panic attack. Somebody saying over a car? Yeah, because if y'all know B likes for everything to be just right. I like to control the outcome, and that was not the outcome that I wanted for Monday morning. I told Cole later, I was like, I almost called you back to apologize for anything I may have said. I don't remember anything. That's how gone my mind was. And I feel weird even saying, because you're like, a car? But that was my world that day. So I left there. I was like, I'm not putting any more money in it. I went to a dealership that had a vehicle that I would like to have. And I was right up front with them. I said, there's something wrong with this car, and I'm not putting any more money into it. We need to do it. We need to change. We need to do something. And he said, well, Mr. Weber, can we just see what it might be? Because he knew what the details of what it would have been for me to make that happen. Everybody say upside down. Yeah. So I would have had to make something happen. And they said, let us put it on the machine, whatever. So they did. They came back and said, it's a knock sensor. I'm like, I know that. They fixed that. How many know dealerships aren't cheap? Come to find out, long story short, I had gotten some bad gas somewhere. I still had to pay for all of the things they did to find that out. So Monday through Friday, I didn't have my car. We got Amy rolling. I got rolling. Yesterday, I fell asleep on the couch for like 45 minutes. And I walked outside. I look across the yard, and Ansley's rim is on the ground. I said, Ansley Grace, you had just gotten back. I said, did your tire pressure light come on when you came back from Connor's? No, Daddy, it didn't. I said, well, your tire's flat. I called the man, Mr. Ken, at Gulf Coast Tire. I said, hey, are you open? I said, this is Bradley. I said, you fixed my wife. He said, I know who you are. He He said, "What you got?" I was like, "Ansley's car's flat. Her tire's flat." I said, "Are you open?" It's Saturday late afternoon. He goes, "I was actually getting ready to walk out the door, but come on." So I had a compressor at the house and I pumped it up air because I wasn't about to put the donut on just to drive it down there for him to plug the tire. I said all that to say, God worked it all out. Matter of fact, when I picked up my car that day, it actually started, after he had driven it to me to pick me up and I drove him back to the dealership and it was fine, when I pulled away from the dealership, it started doing it again. What'd I do? I kid you not. I laid my hands on the beast and I said, "In Jesus' name, Father, heal my car. Fix whatever it is. Fix whatever it is. It's running fine." Now that outcome could have been different had I not been in a place where I'm putting him first. I'm telling you, this past week was the week from hell. I'm done. Everybody's standing all over this room. This could be your week as the worship team comes. This could be your week. Don't allow what happens to you to dictate where you're headed. Don't let it dictate. I'm going to say what I said last week. Don't allow the corner that the enemy may put you in, don't allow it to dictate how you continue to stay committed to putting him first. God never designed us or created us to live life stressed out. I cannot control stress, but I do control how I respond to it. So Father, today, all over this room, Father, I thank you for your word.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. For more content from Forward or just to connect with us, go to myforwardchurch.org. We love you. The best is yet to come.